3 years ago, a middle-aged high school football equipment manager suffered a massive stroke that destroyed the left side of his brain and placed him in a coma. The doctor told his family that he wouldn't survive, and if he did ever come out of a coma, he'd be a vegetable. Months later, to the doctor's surprise, he regained consciousness. However, he had no use of the right side of his body, and both his speech and memory were severely impaired, leaving him at the mercy of his parents' care. A year after having the stroke, he suffered another heart-wrenching loss with the unexpected loss or death of his mother, leaving him and his aging father to take care of him. Now, I first got to meet Patrick last year, and he had one of the most positive attitudes I'd ever known anyone to have. Everything had been taken from him in such a short period of time, but he always smiled and he was always in good spirits. And he never gave up his goal of walking again. You know, he told me he was going to run out of that football stadium with the football team the next season. And his father asked myself and a couple of the other trainers at the gym where I work at if we'd be willing to help Pat on the days he didn't have physical therapy. And so we did. Now, at first, we had to physically lift him out of his wheelchair and help him lay down on the table. He had no strength at all in his upper body or his lower body. And he couldn't lie completely flat because his muscles were so tight. His therapist cautioned that certain muscles in his legs would snap like a bowstring if we pushed it too much. His arm was in even worse condition. His fist was clenched so tight it took two of us to put on the hand brace that would force his hand open like that. 3 times a week, we do everything that was prescribed to him, and he started getting better. He was able to stand up by himself. He was able to start walking with a walker. He started doing step-ups and hurdles. Everything we did was hard for him. Every day was a struggle, and every day he fought. His therapist said that for him to walk just 10 feet was the equivalent of running a marathon. That's how difficult it was for him. And he could have given up at any point, but he didn't. And today, Pat walks unassisted. His hand is relaxed and no longer clenched in a fist. He dresses himself, feeds himself, brushes his teeth, takes standing showers. He only needs his dad to drive him places. In 3 months, when the high school football season starts, he's going to run out of that stadium with that team because he persevered. Now, I want to take a moment to clearly define what perseverance is. Now, Webster's dictionary defines it as a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Steadfastness. There are three components to the act of persevering. One, you have to have a goal, a destination, something to achieve. Two, a struggle, a trouble, an obstacle, something in your way that can prevent you from reaching your goal. And three, continued effort. Emphasis on continued. It must be ongoing. Many have given tremendous effort only to fall short because they gave up too soon. Perseverance is one of the 7 laws of success. Mr. Armstrong called it stick-to-itiveness. In this excerpt from the 7 laws of success, Mr. Armstrong says, 9 in 10, at least once or twice in a lifetime, come to the place where they appear to be totally defeated. All is lost. Apparently, that is. They give up and quit. When just a little more determined hanging on, just a little more faith and perseverance, just a little more stick-to-itiveness would have turned apparent, certain failure into glorious success. Have y'all seen the picture where you're looking at a cutaway of a diamond mine? And there's 2 tunnels being dug by 2 miners. And the top miner has this look of determination on his face. And he's carving a path. And even though he's much farther away than the bottom minor, he wants it. But the miner on the bottom is slumped over, and he looks completely defeated. And he's turned around, and he's walking out of the mine. But we can see that had he had just swung with his pickaxe one or two more times, he would have reached those diamonds. It's such a great illustration that helps visualize what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. Now, perseverance is not only a must to achieve success in this physical life, but it is a requirement as a Christian. Quitting is not a choice if we want to enter God's kingdom. Now, if we turn to the book of Acts, God points this out. So, Acts, the 14th chapter, verse 22. And it's the latter portion of the verse. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. We must. It's necessary. We have to endure tribulation, troubles, suffering. That's what makes getting to a destination hard. That's why so many have failed. Why can't it be easy? Why can't it be simple? When I used to work in IT for the local gym, I'd always be saying that to myself whenever a computer would go down or the phone system would be out and they'd call me to go fix it. And I had to troubleshoot and spend all this extra time trying to figure out how to solve the problem. You know, instead of it being as easy as going from point A to point B, there always seemed to be X, Y, Z somewhere in between there. But in the end, I learned from the struggle of solving those technical problems. It wasn't fun, and it wasn't easy, but I'm a lot more knowledgeable with computers today and a lot more patient. If someone had done that for me, or if things had just worked like they were supposed to, I'd have never grown. And that's why we must endure tribulation. It's God's way of growing us. If we were born, given the Spirit, and lived carefree lives, we wouldn't be battle-tested. How would we be prepared to serve in the kingdom if we never faced any problems of our own in this human life, and then given the chance to overcome them? So not only does God tell us that we must have tribulations, He tells us that we need to embrace them as well. So we're going to have problems, and we're going to like them too. Well, we will if we take a step back and look at the big picture. See, Romans chapter 5, verse 3, let's turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And I'll be reading from the New King James. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Each element is responsible for the next. You have to have tribulation in order to persevere. You have to persevere in order to develop character. And character leads to hope, which is our entire reason for living. It's interesting, the Greek word used for character is dokime, and that's D-O-K-I-M-E, if you want to put that down. And that means a specimen of tried worth. When we persevere, we prove ourselves to God. We have backed our pursuit of the kingdom of God by our continued efforts. No matter how many times we get knocked down, no matter what obstacles get in our way, we just keep on kicking. You think that means a lot to God? One of His children who refuses to give up, who keeps on fighting for Him no matter the cost, by proving ourselves worthy, we can confidently have hope of the glory of God. Now, how do we go about proving ourselves worthy? Well, we all have the same goal, being born as first fruits of the God family and serving as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And what stands in our way of that goal? The influences of the world, Satan, our own human nature, our problems at work affecting our relationship with God, our health problems causing faith to dwindle. Can we endure adverse conditions and resist the temptation to give up? It's very easy to get a poor attitude. It's very easy to quit, to throw in the towel before the race is won. The Apostle Paul uses an athlete in competition as an analogy to how we need to persevere as Christians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9, and we'll take it up in verse 24. Now, being in a profession where I work with a lot of athletes, this scripture resonates with me. So 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And again, this is from the New King James. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I train athletes every day at work, and the ones who have their eyes on the prize come in and work diligently, tirelessly, fighting their body telling them to quit. They go on to play in the college and professional levels. The Apostle Paul tells us that just as an athlete exercises self-control in all things, he fought his body to conquer it. That is our battle day in and day out. Controlling our bodies and minds and winning the struggle against Satan and his influence. And the way we do it is the same way that Jesus Christ did it as a human being, by calling on the power of the Creator of the universe to help. So in conclusion, perseverance is a trait we must all possess. We cannot enter the kingdom of God without it. Entrance requires much tribulation, and we must embrace those tribulations. Trust the process, because through enduring tribulation, we grow in spiritual character. We prove ourselves worthy to God. We have to keep fighting the good fight, never giving up. Satan wants us to quit, and he's going to throw everything at us, including the kitchen sink, to get us to throw our hands up in defeat. If we give up, we lose everything. If we persevere, we gain everything. I'd like to end with the scripture we're all very familiar with, Matthew 24:13. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We must persevere.